Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show. It is Wednesday, October 31st, and we're so happy that you're listening. And I'm Susie Prez, one of your co-hosts.
And I'm your second co-host over here, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie.
Good morning, Chris. It's raining.
Yeah, it's raining, but yep. It's going to be a good day. I can feel it because you know what today is?
Halloween. It's the 31st. It's also the last day of October, and it's the last Wednesday morning show for the 2018 season.
Election season is what you're saying.
Well, no, for the year, I could say.
For the year?
Yeah, it's the last Wednesday morning show in October.
In October.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Does that make more sense? Okay. So we have a great show. This is the last, basically the last local decision 2018 show for the general election. We have the County Commissioner District 1 candidates. We have Steve Johnson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
And we have Stephen Bradshaw. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Stephen. Yep, it's nice to have you here, and we're going to get to questions with you and find out some of the issues that you know about for county commissioners and how you feel about them and things like that. But first, what do we have?
Well, let us know how much rain we have in store for
us.
What's happening with the weather?
It is currently, from the National Weather Service, 39 degrees. Rain, mainly before 5 p.m. today, high near 44. They're not saying how much, but there is a 90% chance of rain. Oh, they are saying new precipitation are between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. So that's kind of a lot of rain. Slight winds, 3 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight, 20% chance of rain with a low of 39. And tomorrow, 80% chance of rain, a high of 50 degrees.
Yeah, sounds like rain.
Straight on through to Sunday.
We need precipitation. We live in a part of the world that really takes a lot of precipitation to stay green. I'll mention a few other things going on outside. Susie, you may have noticed the sun coming up kind of late now. Sunrise this morning was at 7:28 a.m., it'll set tonight at 5:29 p.m. That means in the course of the past week, we've lost 23 minutes of daylight per day. That's because the days are getting shorter as we approach the winter solstice, which is in December. But if you like morning light, you got to remember that we are ending daylight savings time on Sunday. So set your clock back 1 hour. It'll give you a little more light in the morning, at least. So it's a reminder to everybody out there. Other things going on outside. If we get a break in the clouds, Sunday and Monday, the Tarids meteor shower is going to be happening. So you might check out the sky, the night sky on Sunday and Monday, if we have the conditions to see the meteor showers. Because it's pretty cool to see the falling stars, as we call them.
That's right. And I'll be in Wisconsin. Maybe they'll be there, too.
It could be, yeah. They will be there.
I will want to give a shout out to Bernie Mosier. He was not in this morning, but we did automate his great selection of Wednesday morning music from 5 to 7. And Bernie, we hope you feel better soon. And thanks for your dedicated broadcasting here at 88.5 KRFY.
Yeah, and that we should remind folks that if you're an early riser, that Bernie has a great morning show. It's easy on a Wednesday morning, and you can tune in at 5 to 7, I believe it is, right, Susie? He plays great music. Yeah, it's a good way to start your Wednesday.
I think a lot of people really like that show, and they listen, so we've been hearing good news about it.
And now, let's get on to the main event for the day. Well, we could talk about Halloween, but I'll make it short. There's a ton of Halloween stuff going on around town. If you want to check out the calendars on KRFY.org or SandpointOnline.com. There are Halloween events happening, including, I'll mention that some of the churches, like Christ Our Redeemer, is having a trick-or-treat station, too. So there's all kinds of choices out there.
And be very careful driving. I know that the little tiny children running around in the neighborhoods in town, they're out actually before it gets dark. So keep your eyes open. They're very excited. They're out soliciting sugar, so just keep your eyes open.
Okay, and with that, let's get on to today's main topic. Again, we are speaking with the two candidates for Bonner County Commissioner District 1, Stephen Bradshaw, Republican, and Steve Johnson, Democrat. Stephen and Steve, I can say in this election we should vote for somebody named Steve.
would be a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully you'll get out there and vote.
Steve Johnson, why don't we start with you? We're going to give you each a couple minutes at the start here, open mic, tell folks a little bit about yourself, your background, your qualifications, and why you're running, and then we'll dive into some questions on the issues.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you both for having us on this morning. I'm Steve Johnson, moved here with my family in 1957, so I'm a 60-year resident. I live on the family farm that I grew up on. Went to Southside Elementary, inspired by a teacher and principal there named Jim Stoichev. Graduated from Sandpoint High in 68. Went down to University of Idaho, majored in education. Got my bachelor's degree in education in 72 and started teaching at Sagal Elementary. Just recently finished 40-plus years teaching elementary and high school. High school at the Lake Pendere Alternative High School. During those 40 years, I also am a farmer, a rancher, and a part-time logger and a home builder. I decided to run for commissioner when I felt like there was an opportunity to improve the transparency and accountability in the office and to connect with people. I've worked with all kinds of people, both public and private, for, like I say, for 40-plus years. And I think it's important to see other people and their opinions as just that, people with other opinions, not enemies, not even adversaries, but people that we all need to hear their voices and to make sure that everybody feels respected and dignified. I don't know if my 2 minutes is up.
Well,
you're not waving at me yet, but I think it's pretty close.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve Johnson. And Stephen Bradshaw, same to you. Open mic here. Tell folks a little bit about yourself, your background, your qualifications, and why you're running.
Steve Bradshaw, running for District 1 Commissioner. The reason I'm running was kind of a question to me for a while. The Lord definitely impressed upon me that I needed to do it. And that was confirmed through some other outlets. And after the primaries, KMBI, Moody Bible Institute, had done their own little work, and over 500 pastors had entered political races this season. And so it was obvious that the Lord's up to something. Serving people is something I've done for the last 15 years as a pastor full-time. I've always been in business for myself. Started working when I was 12 after school. Would work till about 10 o'clock at night, 16 hours on the weekends. So multitasking in long hours has always been part of my... I'm not a guy that can sit down for a long period of time. I have to be moving. I, like Steve, need to bring a lot of openness and accountability to public office. I believe that commissioners are managers, and they're not really a party affiliated. They serve all the people, regardless of which side of the river you stand on an issue. County commissioner's job is to serve the people. That's what I want to do. I serve the people at church. I serve people in the public. So serving is kind of what I'm programmed to do.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. And we're going to start the first question with Stephen Bradshaw. What do you consider the top three issues that are most important for a commissioner and in this race that have come up, but for the commissioner's job, and tell why you think they are important and where you stand on them?
Well, the smelter is definitely an issue. That has been an issue for a while now. There's really not a whole lot Bonner County commissioners can do because we're on the other side of the state line, but we can certainly fuss and push and try to gather the people to come together. And that's one thing that's nice about the smelter. It's brought both sides together on one issue. It's that we all tend to agree, whether you're independent, Democrat, Republican, whatever, that it is bad for our area. Environmentally, it would be a disaster, I think. And the main push will have to come from the governor's level.
Want to bring up a couple other issues that are important.
I guess some of the others is the recent tax increase. Foregone taxes has come up a couple of times. There's a couple of times when we could have took a 3% a year is what it's allowed to add onto your taxes for inflation, whatever. And there was some years that wasn't applied. And I guess the state allows the county to go back and reclaim that one time. And so they could have reclaimed more, but they didn't, which is fine with me. I'm like everybody else. I'd just assume my taxes went down to almost invisible, but that's a reality of life. So long as the county is a good steward with the dollars they get, I don't have any complaints because we've got good taxes here.
Okay, well, thank you. And the same question, Steve Johnson, do you want me to repeat it?
I think I got it.
Okay,
you go. My short-term memories can use some improvement, but I think I've got it, the question. I think the most important issue before the county commissioners is how to reestablish togetherness and trust and respect with the leaders of the county government. I think, unfortunately, right now it kind of reflects some of the national picture where there's a lot of polarization and mistrust. And I think if elected, I would be able to go a long way in reestablishing that trust and openness in making sure there's transparency and accountability. And without that, all the projects in the world are going to be contentious and very possibly difficult to come happen. One prime example, I think, is the bicycle tunnel, which I think is hopefully I think it's a good idea, but I wish there would have been more proactive work on why it's necessary, why it's a good idea, where the money came from. And I think the county can do a lot more on getting out there, and the commissioner can be one of the moving forces. A second one is health for our citizens, and the smelter certainly plays into that. Again, the commissioners have maybe a limited impact they can have directly on that, but one thing we can do is make sure that we implement hopefully, in my opinion, the Medicaid expansion will pass, and we have in some estimates, over 1,000 people here in Bonner County who will be healthier and have opportunity to be preventative health instead of trying to do a pound of fix after there's some problems. I think a third one is the railroad. The second bridge, I've been here ever since, 1957. And I actually believe a second bridge is something else to talk about.
Okay, thanks. I was waving at you for time there, right. Steve. But we're going to have ample opportunity to revisit some of these issues. So let's start out now with Steve Johnson on this one. Taxes and budgets, that's always kind of one of the main things that the commissioners deal with, and something that impacts most of our voters directly. The question for you both to address is, do you feel the county has struck the correct balance between taxes and services? And would you be trying to see the budget go larger or reduce it? If you're going to reduce it, what would you eliminate to get it down there? And we'll start with you on this question, Steve Johnson.
Again, I think anytime you're spending other people's money, the trust issue is paramount. It is probably the most important. And as long as they trust that you're being fiscally conservative and can make sure that those records are out in the open and fully explained, then I think people, for the most part, will understand. And when they understand, there'll be a good chance of agreeing. Basically, I think tax-wise, we're in good shape in Bonner County. And services, I've lived on a county road ever since we moved here, Beers Humbird Road out in the Sagal area. And that road is 100 times better than when we first moved here. It's a year-round road now. And the thing, one issue that has come up is recent salary increases for some of the department heads and for the commissioners. And I would pledge that this $10,000 raise that's been passed in the last 2 years, I would pledge that I would return that to a Bonner County charity. And I would also pledge that I would not accept any money from groups that have an axe to grind, whatever that might be, the railroad or the smelter or anything else. And budget-wise, I think if we, like I say, keep it transparent and keep it accountable, then that's going to convince people that we're on the right track.
Okay. Thank you, Steve Johnson. Stephen Bradshaw, same question to you. Do you feel the county has struck the correct balance between taxes and services, and would you be aiming to see it to increase, to improve services, or reduce? And if you wanted to cut the budget, how would you do that?
Well, the roads, I agree with Steve. I've been here 30 years, and they're far superior to what they were 30 years ago. There's still some that need work, and they will get done. Takes time, takes money. We've got a good road and bridge department. We've got some really good people working there now. The budget, the current commissioners have done good at bringing that down, getting kind of a grasp on some spending habits that were brought in previous to them, which is always fun inheriting a problem. But the budget can always be worked on. There is always ways to be more efficient with what you got. Thomas Edison once said, when you think that you've explored all the possibilities, you haven't. So there's always ways to improve and give the people more bang for their buck.
Okay, we have a little follow-up question, and this did come from a listener, but it's regarding the budget. So I thought I'd just throw this one in right now. And we'll start with Stephen Bradshaw. Managing the county budget is an important and complicated requirement and process for commissioner's job. Have you attended many of the county budget workshops this year, and can you describe the county's budgeting process briefly?
I've been to a couple of them. What makes it complex is there's so many different departments and different places of spending. But math is math, regardless of how many digits to the left of the decimal it is, the math is the same. So adding and subtracting, whether it's $100 or $100 million, the math is still the same. It's not complex. It's not rocket science. But it is time consuming.
Thank you. And Steve Johnson, same question.
The budget is complex. And we have the commissioners and all county officials have the obligation to explain it just as fully and completely as possible. The budget meeting I attended, I think the clerk did a good job of explaining that particular accounting. However, there are only three people in attendance other than county officials. So I think there needs to be more of an outreach program, somehow communicating more effectively and more transparently with the public. Again, coming back to that trust issue, you're not going to turn over your tax money willingly if you don't have a lot of trust and feel like the people are really there working for you and representing what's the best interest. So although there is some public input, I think we could do a whole lot better.
Okay. Thank you, Steve Johnson. Actually, we'll put this next question to start with you as well. We'll follow up because we have another question from a listener. We like to ask those when they're on topic. And it's kind of on the same subject here. How would you approach being a member of the Board of Equalization that rules on whether individual property tax assessments are fair? This is the role the commissioners play when somebody wants to appeal their property tax assessment.
Well, interestingly enough, I asked current commissioner Glenn Bailey what were some of the best parts of being a commissioner, because I've heard some of the challenges, but I wanted to know about some of the goodies too. And he said one of the best things was sitting on that Board of Equalization, that to hear these stories of people who want to stay in their homes and and have been there for a long time and struggling with the increased property tax, to be able to give them a little breathing room just was a real good feeling. And he felt like it was, and obviously you can't swing that way too much, or you're going to create some, you know, every time you give somebody a break, it means somebody else maybe has to pick up a little bit. But we're all in this together, and I think if we realize that helping somebody that truly needs help is part of our duty and part of our calling and part of our obligation, then I think that goes a long way to helping people understand why it's needed.
Okay, thank you. Stephen Bradshaw, same question to you. How would you approach being a member of the Board of Equalization that rules on whether individual property tax assessments are fair?
Well, you've got some legal guidelines that you have to adhere to. So those aren't as flexible as we'd like them to be sometimes. But there are cases where things can be done to ease the burden. And when that is possible, then you should do that. Scripture tells us that if you can help someone and don't, that is sin. So if it's in your ability to help, then you have a duty to do that.
Well, thank you, Stephen Bradshaw. We'll go on to another subject that seems to be one of the big ones on taxpayers' minds and citizens of Bonner. You hear this over and over, roads, right? How do you feel the county is doing in maintenance and construction of county roads? Are you satisfied, or do you want to bring changes in roads and bridges, bridge operations? We'll start with Stephen Bradshaw.
In the last 30 years, the biggest complaint I've always heard has been my road, your road, their road, this road, that road. Somebody's mad because their road didn't get paved. Henry's got paved, mine didn't. And so road and bridge complaints are probably by far the largest complaint in the county. The road and bridge department is doing a great job. You have a certain amount of budget dollars for road and bridge, and that's all you can do. That you can only do what the reality of available funds is there. I think they're doing a great job. They're doing a better job than they've ever done. There's still lots of things that need to be done, and because of the environment we live in, where the ground heaves in the winter and shrinks in the summer, and we all been through the mud season, road maintenance will continue to be a problem in Bonner County because we can't move this part of the world to somewhere else.
Okay, thank you. And Steve Johnson, same question, roads.
Yeah, and I've lived on the same county road for like I say, 60 years, and it's vastly improved. And hats off to Stephen Klatt and the road crew. I don't want to be a broken record, but I think a lot of it comes back to trust, because it's true. If somebody's road gets paved, or if the Bottle Bay bike tunnel gets built, and Lakeshore Drive is still sitting there with accidents waiting to happen, people wonder, why is that? So I think we need to get out in front of it and make sure that people understand we're just trying to do the best we can with the funds that are available. And I honestly believe a big part of it, the mistrust, is just a lack of proactive communication.
Okay. Thank you, Steve Johnson. First question, I mean, this question goes to you first. We're going to talk about planning issues now. Last winter, the commissioners approved a natural resource plan for the county. It's a 95-page document that generally advocates for multiple uses on public lands. Its supporters say it's a tool to give the county a say about use of state and federal lands, but opponents thought it lacked a diversity of viewpoints, criticized the process as one of those points of contention. What's your position on the natural resource plan? And then more generally, do you feel the county is following a good path with regards to planning and zoning? Steve Johnson.
Well, I believe that again, public input is required, and there was public input. I think any time there's a sizable objection to the way something was done, it needs to be addressed and not just shoved under the rug. And so the diversity issue of diversity of opinion, each opinion is to be valued, I feel, and respected and incorporated, if at all possible, in the final document. I know when we have court rulings and things, we always have the majority opinion and we have the minority. And I just really enjoy the community spaces, the public lands, the national and the state. And as long as we can be sure that private interests aren't eroding that access and eroding that multiple use, then yes, that needs to happen. There needs to be some opportunity for private things to happen. But I really believe that the availability of that land for all of us is paramount.
Okay. 30 seconds left. More, do you feel the county's following a good path in planning and zoning in general?
So far, I think mainly I would hate to see it turn into a Coeur d'Alene where there's subdivisions popping up on every, it seems like every 300 feet. And I believe that there's a comprehensive need for planning down the road, not just next year, but 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. When we drive, when we approach the Long Bridge from the south, like I do, are we going to still see openness and a continuation of the rural character of Bonner County that I grew up with?
Okay, thank you. Stephen Bradshaw, same question. What was your position on that natural resource plan that the county passed? And do you feel the county is following a good path generally as regards to planning and zoning?
I think our natural resources, we live in a natural resource rich environment, and so that's something that constantly needs to be watched and looked over, and a good stewardship of it. Public land should remain just that, public land, and not be closed with a wilderness designation, things like that. Planning and zoning, I've lived here 30 years, was in the building business. That has always been the worst moment of my life when I would start a building project, is the visit to planning and zoning. You had more foolishness and hoops and things to jump through than was necessary. Codes, setbacks, those are all necessary. Some of them get a little on the silly side, but there is a need for codes to protect my property and protect your property so that I don't encroach in your yard and you don't encroach in mine. A lot of this talk that they're having now about busting up 10-acre tracts into 2-acre tracts and stuff like that, you can probably do that in Kootenai County. Most of Kootenai County's flat, and it perks out good, and you can put houses next to each other. There's very few places in Bonner County that you can actually do that because of the environment we're in. You can't put 20 houses on a 40-acre piece down here on the highway because most of it's wetlands. So it just common sense. And I think, and I said it in the past and been misquoted and took out of context on it, but I'll clear it up now. If it was up to me, I would take planning and zoning, disassemble it, and sell it off in a yard sale, and start over from scratch using common sense, good science, and just good common sense, and protect everybody in doing so.
Okay, well, thank you, Stephen Bradshaw. We're going to move on to, this is a combination of about three listeners' questions, and it's around Proposition 2 for Medicaid expansion. So I'm going to do my best to combine it into one. This proposition that is on the ballot is that voters will see on the ballot is to expand Medicaid to provide for about 62,000 Idaho residents who fall into the so-called gap because they earn too much money to qualify for Medicaid. So they're working people, mostly, but not enough to afford insurance on the state health care exchange. The question would be, I just wanted to say something. Governor Butch Otter yesterday endorsed a yes on Proposition 2, which would... Okay, just a second. So here's the question. The Idaho Association of Counties unanimously backed the governor's failed attempt in 2015 to accept Medicaid expansion. That was back then. He, along with the Idaho Sheriff's Association, have recently endorsed Proposition 2, with one of its officials saying they support it to save taxpayers money, to keep people out of jails, and to keep people out of the emergency room. So the question to you, and we'll start with Stephen Bradshaw, I'm pretty sure what the question is, how would closing the gap affect county taxes? How would it affect Bonner General Hospital? Do you believe that closing the gap would save the county money?
Well, I don't believe it'll save the county money because it's going to cost all the taxpayers money. Anytime that you have a giveaway program, you have to stop and go, okay, who's paying for that? Well, you and I, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Bessler, we're all paying for it. Before we were force-fed Obamacare, there was no gap. Medicaid took care of that gap. But when we were force-fed the Obamacare, if you made $14,500 or less, I couldn't buy your insurance for you because they wouldn't write you because you didn't qualify. And that was the people Obamacare was supposed to be for. So we were force-fed a bill of goods, and all it did was drive the cost of insurance up over and over and over again. Mine has doubled 3 times in the last 6 years. Doesn't, far as accidents, whether you have insurance or not, ain't going to change whether you have an accident or not. Just because you have insurance doesn't mean you won't have an accident. That concept is foolishness in itself. But, yeah, Proposition 2 is going to cost us a ton of money, and that's how socialism works, because you take other people's money to pay for other things. I have no problem helping someone that's in need. But when you create a deal like that, then it encourages people not to make any more money, because now if I make more, I'm going to have to buy my insurance instead of getting it for free. So you create a laziness within the people. And Winston Churchill once said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. And that brings you one step closer to it with Proposition 2.
Thank you, Stephen Bradshaw, for that. And Steve Johnson, same question. Do you want me to repeat the 3 questions at the end there?
I got it. And if I smooth over one, remind me, please. I have quite a different opinion about Prop 2. I'm fully supportive of Prop 2. I grew up without insurance. Mom and Dad both worked. In the 60s and in the 70s, and actually had a brother almost die because mom and dad, he had a ruptured appendix. They didn't know it, and they were reluctant to take him into the doctor for anything that they didn't think would be really serious. Almost waited too long, and that's a terrible feeling for a parent to have to weigh the idea of, can I afford appropriate care, for medical care for my child? That's just, in my opinion, unacceptable. Anyway, I think we all have our opinions, some of them more informed than others. I think the people who are most informed are in high levels of our current state government. They happen to be fiscally conservative Republicans. In our area, the most knowledgeable person, who has co-chaired the Finance Committee and the Budget Committee for the entire state, Sean Keel, has came out in favor of it. And she says that actually some of the things that are being said about it are not only fuzzy, they are actually untrue, and there, that is not a result of what would happen with the passage of Prop 2. And then secondly, just the Sheriff's Association, which is not known for maybe the most liberal stance on some things, just made me really proud. The Idaho Sheriff's Association, all 44 counties represented, saying this is the help that we need to reduce our work with people who are mentally having difficulties, physically having difficulties. We had a situation, I remember in the newspaper, some lady who was needing help at the radio station wound up getting killed. And maybe if she would have had opportunity to get some help, then that wouldn't have happened. Let's see. And the other, the one you just mentioned was Governor Otter. I mean, who knows our state best than the Republican governor of this state, controlling the entire budget, basically, with the help of the legislature, naturally, coming out and supporting and say the time is now. It is ridiculous and he didn't say ridiculous, maybe, but I do believe he said it's unacceptable to maintain the current situation.
Okay, Steve Johnson, thank you. Let's move on to another topic here. And Steve Johnson, we start with you. This is one that Stephen Bradshaw has spoken to a little bit, but I don't think you have. The smelter. So a silicon smelter is proposed in Newport, just across the Bonner from Bonner County. And it's encountering a lot of opposition here. Here's the question actually from a listener. Let's see. What information do you need about the smelter to make a decision? What research have you done? How would you represent Bonner County on this issue?
I believe that it's somewhat similar to some years ago. There was a pulp mill in Frenchtown, Montana, and their treated water flowed into the Clark Fork River and is the main thing that fills up Lake Ponderay, and so a lot of concern there. And so what could a state do when another state was the source of the situation, of the possible problem? And I think this is similar. What can we do in the state of Idaho to impact Washington State? I did attend the scoping session by the Ecology Department of the State of Washington in Newport, and the next night the one in Priest River. And I think that not only the logical scientific appeal was convincing, but also the emotional. Retirees who had moved here after saving 30 and 40 years to come to our paradise, young people, young parents with children, people that were cancer survivors that had serious respiratory problems, all of them concerned about this possibility. And I think as county commissioners, we can advocate for all those concerns, and I think we can have a voice. We can have a strong voice. We can support actually Heather Scott's voice. We can support whoever else is our state representatives in making sure that our own Department of Quality, of Environmental Quality, is actively engaged with the state of Washington. And this is another case where we're working with other people. I think the federal government, if it goes along and there isn't enough faith in the state of Washington, then the federal government with their EPA, we can't beat up on them one day and then turn around and ask them to swoop in and save us the next day. We're either going to support programs that protect people and protect our environment, or we're not. And I think we can do that cooperatively.
Okay, thank you. Same question to you, Stephen Bradshaw. What information do you need to make a decision about the smelter? What research have you done, and how would you represent the citizens of Bonner County on this?
I've done a lot of research on it. I've been to some meetings with the people of Newport and their attorney. The land deal was done illegally. My question would be, where's the prosecutor on that? It's very unlikely that three county commissioners would sign off on an illegal deal out of ignorance, and it's even more suspicious that they did it for free. Not many people will go on the line and do something illegally for free. So everything about that deal stinks. Everything about a silicon smelter stinks. If you like the smell of rotten eggs, then you'll love the smelter, because that's what you're going to smell all the time. The pollution is going to be acid rain, hydrogen sulfide gas, and in the oil field, we call that H2S. It's one of the few gases that's classified as extremely dangerous, which means you get about one good breath, and that's all you get of it, and you're done. So if their filter system fails, and because it's made by man, at some point in time, it will fail, then you got some serious health issues immediately following that. But the health issues will be terrible. We have a very sensitive environment we live in. The trout fisheries, the water, the land, the trees, all this is susceptible to acid rain. You go over to Smelterville, look at that. That looked like a barren land 30 years ago when I moved here, and it still looks that way. And that's one of the benefits we would get from it. But the biggest question, if it's such a great thing, why did the whole nation of Canada tell them they can't build it there? Mm-hmm. That's where the mine is.
Okay, thank you, Stephen Bradshaw, on the question about the smelter. This is another listener one, and it's directed really to you, Stephen Bradshaw. You know, a couple times you've brought up you are the pastor of the Cowboy Church. I'm not sure if that's the official name of it, but that's what we all know it by. And the Constitution of the U.S. calls for separation of church and state. How would you ensure that at the county level, while commissioner, that there is no conflict of interest there? How would that, if you were elected?
Okay, that's a... we'll clear up something real quick. Separation of church and state didn't mean that a Christian couldn't be in political office. It meant that government will pass no laws restricting religion. It didn't say religion couldn't be in there. The first churches in this nation was in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol building. There was four different churches inside that building. And so a lot of confusion and fallacies out there about separation of church and state. I answer to a higher authority on everything I do, not only in the pulpit, but when I walk out the front door, I still am accountable to him. So if I can stand and look God in the face and be accountable, I can certainly look at the taxpayers in Bonner County and be accountable.
And Stephen Johnson, do you want to say anything about that? Or it was really directed to Stephen Bradshaw. But
well, my personal belief is I think we certainly all have our own spiritual and religious beliefs. I hesitate to interject very much of that into government. I know that that I have personal concerns about other people dictating to the rest of the folks what their beliefs are and making that part of the policy. So I have some reservations about that.
Okay, thank you, Stephen Johnson, or Steve Johnson.
Either way, it's fine.
Okay. Okay, well, we're going to... Chris is reading over there. We're going to go to another question. And this one is about commissioner salaries. When recently discussing this at the forum, it was stated by Stephen Bradshaw that the Idaho commissioner's salary, they actually voted last year, or it was brought to the budget, that the salaries would increase by $10,000 over a two-year period. And Stephen Bradshaw, at the forum, you stated that in Idaho, because there was a question, is $78,000 a high salary for a commissioner? And you stated that in Idaho, $100,000 is an average. I just want to bring up the fact that at the Idaho Association of Counties, the average commissioner's salary is actually, in fact, $39,903. The question is, where did you get your information and about the $100,000 average salary, and did you know about the Idaho Association of Counties?
Yeah, I stand corrected on that. The counting all the counties, Ada County is far in excess of $100,000.
And Ada County is down in Boise.
Boise, okay. Yeah, the big city. And but if you take the counties that have the population of Bonner County and more, then the average is over 100,000. So it's per capita.
And where did you get your information? Just a source?
Same place you got yours. You just have to go a little further.
Well, let's do a follow-up on that one.
Okay.
Since we're talking about the salary. So do you think it's the salary set at the right place now for the Bonner County commissioners? Stephen Johnson, you mentioned that.
You would turn it back.
It's part of that to charity. So.
Right. I think that goes a long way to the trust. I mean, if we're going to have somebody in public office and they're going to raise their own salaries, that all by itself is just the optics don't look good, and the trust thing doesn't look good, especially if we've got people who can't afford to pay their property taxes. And so, yes, I would reiterate my my pledge to return that $10,000 and to look at the other department heads that received increases. I do believe that the workers, the guys that run the snow plows, my oldest son ran the one of the snow plows for 3 years. I do believe they need to have a living wage, and it needs to be competitive, so that Peak and Interstate and the rest of them don't let us train all the guys, and then they wind up getting them for a little better salary. So I do believe the workers need to be competitive. I think these other salaries are inflated, and I don't agree with it.
Okay. Stephen Bradshaw, same question. Do you think it's set at about the right level, or what do you think there?
I didn't apply for the job because of the money. It's to serve the people. The raise didn't happen on mine or Mr. Johnson's shift. We had no say-so in it. It's certainly something that can be looked at. They have bumped up the salaries of our road and bridge people, sheriff's department, deputies, because we were constantly losing them after they get trained. It's like Steve said, you know, they'd end up going working for the private sector for more money. And so they've got to be paid a competitive wage. Otherwise, you spend all your money training people for somebody else. And so the wages are getting closer to where they need to be for the workers. And the commissioner's deal, that'd be something to look at, won't it?
Okay. Yeah, Steve Josh, you had a follow-up?
Oh, just one thought. I thought I read in the newspaper and that the only county commissioners who earned $100,000 plus were the Ada County commissioners. So I don't know if truly the average could be, even counties our population size, if how the average could be $100,000.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of statistics out there.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
I'm not qualified to weigh in on where that's at. But let's turn on to another question here. Second train bridge. Burlington Northern Santa Fe is intending to build a second bridge across Lake Pendere. Here's a question from a listener. We'll put it to you first, Steve Johnson. We do not have enough equipment or training to clean up spills and would have to wait for help from Spokane or Whitefish. A low water spill, especially between October till April, requires a boat launch in Hope or Laclede. What have you done or what will you do to lessen the impact of these risks? Have you or will you ask that Burlington Northern Santa Fe pay for equipment and training we're lacking to clean up spills?
Okay, number one again, a broken record, is trust. We have to trust that the county commissioners are doing what's best for the people. And it, in my opinion, there's no question that there needs to be an environmental impact statement that covers all those issues. That's exactly what they're for. And that needs to be transparent and accountable and presented to the people so that all the pros and cons are revealed and discussed. Personally, I think a freeway is safer than a two-lane road. There's not near as many head-on crashes. So personally, just a humble, uninformed, basically opinion, it seems like two railway line or tracks are better than one. However, again, I think the EIS would go a long way in establishing if that's just somebody's opinion or if there's a lot of facts that support that. And I do agree that the railroad is vital to our area and that they've been here a long time. The one thing that concerns me is supposedly there was a donation from the railroad to one of the commissioners about the same time that there was some question about whether the second bridge was a good idea or not. And I absolutely think that taints poorly the idea of commissioners being objective when there's donations to their campaign.
Yeah. And that was one of the sitting commissioners, not
yes,
anybody involved in this race, right?
Uh-huh.
And Stephen Bradshaw, same question to you. You know, what kind of actions do you think the county should take to deal with potential problems from a second train bridge?
Well, we've got an emergency management system in place that has already planned for that, has worked close with Burlington Northern people. Burlington Northern is not a fly-by-night company. They know what they're doing. They already own the roadbed. There's nothing, even on the state level, that you could do if they want to build that second bridge. Congress could not stop that second bridge. It belongs to them. Railroad has its own stuff. They're more than capable of building the bridge. Our emergency management works hand in hand with them in Bonner County on the tracks, the wrecks, any spills. So we would continue that relationship, and the environmental impact is going to be extremely minimal, short of a diesel spill, which will be on top of the water. They'll clean that up, and away we go. And so it's just common sense and just good business practice to plan for the disaster that doesn't happen, so that if it does happen, things go well. And so we've got a good emergency management program that works good.
Okay, well, thank you. And with that, we're about out of time. So we're going to give you each about a minute to give a final pitch to the voters why they should go for you. And Stephen Bradshaw, open mic. You've got a minute.
Well, I'm Stephen Bradshaw. Serving the people is what I do. I will be working for everybody that lives in Bonner County, regardless of which side of an issue we stand on. We don't have to agree, but we do have to work together. And I will be an employee of the county. I will not be an employee of the people, not an employee of the county. I will work for the people, because ultimately, you guys are the ones that pay the commissioners.
Okay.
You ride for the brand.
Thank you, Stephen Bradshaw. Steve Johnson, open mic here for 60 seconds.
Yes, I would appreciate your consideration voting for me. I believe that I bring some management skills, 40 years plus of working with public and private and large budgets, working with public and other groups to make sure that Bonner County serves all the citizens and all of us together. So I would appreciate your vote. I would also appreciate if you look long and hard at Medicaid expansion and hopefully realize that there's other people who are really in need and that you would vote yes for that. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Steve Johnson, Stephen Bradshaw. Great discussion. Really appreciate you both being in here. And I will say, once one of you guys gets in office, we were probably going to ask you to come back in as a sitting commissioner from time to time. We like to have our commissioners come in and talk about things that are going on in the county.
Yes. Thank you very much, Stephen Bradshaw and Steve Johnson, candidates for Bonner County Commissioner, District 1.
Ooh, one little thing. If you live anywhere in the county, you get to vote for both county commissioner positions, District 1 and District 3.
And it's on the ballot. And speaking of voting, I want to first of all thank our listeners who did send us in questions. It helps the conversation, and I think they were appropriate. And we want to also remind the listeners that this interview today, this morning show, Local Decision 2018 General Election with the candidates, will be on our website as a podcast, under podcast, and that's krfy.org. I also want to encourage folks to vote. You can still vote early right now. And if you're not registered, you can register on the day of at your registration point. Just bring in your ID and a proof of your residency or your address.
And the election is next Tuesday, November 6th. Polls are open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. If you're unsure about where to vote, there's a ton of information available online on the Sandpoint Online Election Central. It's got all kinds of voting information. You can find links to both of these candidates and all the candidates, information about them. That's at Sandpoint Online or sandpointelections.com if you need information to help you decide how to vote.
And tomorrow on the morning show, you can join Jack Peterson. He'll have some folks in from the Sandpoint Film Festival to talk about that. That's coming up at the Panada. And we want to thank the KRFY listeners for their continued support and interest in community radio here at 88.5 KRFY. KRFY providing local content and voices, national and world news perspective, as well as great music. 24/7 at 88.5 KRFY. So thank you for that. We're going to go out with a song, and actually you're going to hear a couple songs. We have queued up Jackie DeShannon, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. Good one, right?
Sounds well, I can remember that one. I think that one might be old enough to vote.
Actually, it is. You betcha. And vote, 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 folks. Next week.
Regardless of which Steve, vote.
Okay. Really
vote for
good.
Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. At the Bonner County Building, what used to be the federal building. I think you can walk right in there and you can vote this very day.
Yeah, for an early voting.
For early voting, right. Yeah. You don't even have to worry where your precinct is or the voting place. Okay.
And next week, what are you going to be doing, Chris, on the morning show?
Oh, next Wednesday, we're going to have a wrap-up. We're going to be talking with two of our local journalists from the Bonner County Daily Bee and the Sandpoint Reader. And we're going to just be recapping what had happened the night before. We'll be talking about one of you guys at least, because one of you guys is going to be a new commissioner. So tune in for that. That's 8 a.m. next Wednesday.
And I'll be back on the 14th with Chris. And we'll be talking with the city folks about what's going on downtown on the streets, right? Okay, we're going to go out with that song, Jackie DeShannon, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. We hope you have a beautiful day. Take care.
Bye now.